perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Alright. We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Tonight.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 194 of Geek Girls Podcast. The Geek Girls Podcast is supported primarily by our patrons at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Ray, and I am joined by my lovely co-hosts, September and Linda.
Hello.
Sorry for the silent greeting.
Yeah, Ember waved.
She's I was typing in the chat, so that's all I had. Just go.
So today we're going to be talking about gentrification, which if you want to look it up, do not spell it incorrectly.
It's a really new word Google doesn't know yet.
Yes.
It's only had 2 years.
But before we get into that, what have you girls been up to?
I can go first if you want.
Sure.
Sure. I've been making stuff. That's what I do.
No way. Stuff.
No way. So I've been working on, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I had this really random idea about making like foldable, like Goliath from Gargoyle wings that I could wear for my character because mm-hmm. they would be nice and like, in my head, they're nice and lightweight, and if I fall on them, they won't break, which is what I'm scared to do with my nice Renfair wings that I spent too much money on, but I adore them anyway. Because I have these big old bat wings that I bought from Renfair several years ago that I wear with my dragon kind of dragon fae costume. And I've been working on the mock-up for that, which I've been using, like, pipe cleaners and EVA foam and pins and things and hot glue. And it's a thing. I've made a thing. And I now have the actual support structures for my thing, which will become the wings. I decided I'm going to use these little fidget toys that bend and, like, all different directions. You know, you can bend them, mm-hmm. and they make all sorts of shapes and things. Most of the structure is probably going to come from the, like, the fabric itself, because I'm using this kind of faux leather that's got scale patterns on it. Kind of looks like alligator skin, but it's all black. And this will just be for, like, around the top so I can bend it down so it'll come around and sit at my neck properly. And it's bendable this way and it's bendable that way. I had the hardest, like, I knew what I wanted in my head, but I couldn't remember what these were called. I still don't know if they have, like, a short name because it was some, I had to, like, look up, like, bendable fidget, what was it? Bendable toy something or other. It was a long name, and it doesn't have like a shortened title to it. I don't even know if people
and if it did it would probably be a brand.
Yeah. So it's basically just one of those little desk toys that you play with, and you can like fold it up into squares or circles or what have you. But these are gonna be the struts for my wings. As I flop them at the camera. So I'm going to probably be doing some experimenting with these to see if they actually work. If I don't, I now have fidget toys. Lots of them, because it was a set of six. So I have 4 short ones and 2 really long ones.
Oh, cool.
So I can, and I think I can pop these together if I want them to be longer. I believe they're modular. That's
cool. Ooh, fancy.
So fancy. And I got a lot of fabric quarters for cheap. They were 10 for $10, so it was basically a dollar a piece. So I have these this little rainbow of colors because I'm gonna make myself a lithomancy reading mat using these for five colors in a five-pointed star on the mat. I don't know how to quilt, but I'm gonna fake it
Oh
because I
man.
want to
I was just gonna ask
I
you, like, I still have
want
to
to
make a that kind of mat, and I don't know how to quilt either, and I'm trying to figure out another way to do it, and I was gonna hope you had advice, but I
There's
guess we'll figure
apparently a
out.
way that you can fake a quilt by cutting the pieces out and then folding the edges under and ironing them and then putting like the iron on the like you have to get it damp and then iron it and it
Yeah.
sticks the Stitch Witch stuff.
Oh,
You can
okay, yeah.
fake a quilt with that, but you might want to go back if you're going to be using it all. If it's not just like for display, you want
What's
to go back and
stitching
actually stitch it down. But you can fake the quilt by using Stitch Witch. I learned this from YouTube. and then the other ones, I got this really pretty purple pomegranate owls.
Ooh.
You could make
I
Persephone
got,
pouches.
yes, Persephone pouches. I got butterflies. They're white, gray, and purple butterflies on a black background. And this really adorable, like, French patisserie, like, all of these cupcakes and
Tiramisu.
tiramisu and cute little delicacies macarons on there. And then I got there was one other that was the same colors kind of as the owl, but it was a solid color. And I already made a pocket out of that, so I don't have to show off. Oh, and then I forgot a very small group of us that have all been vaccinated got together for a board game night. So that was a lot of fun. That was I miss seeing people. I didn't realize how much I had missed like actually like I had to work during the entire pandemic, but you know, I didn't get to see the other friends. That was really nice. It's nice to see them not inside black boxes. And then Mother's Day, we went out for an outdoor, like, eating. It was so windy. It was like we were outside on their patio. The patio was huge. There was lots of space. It was great. There was dogs all around because they invited people with dogs to come in and eat on this patio. I think the restaurant was called Lazy Dog or something like that. So, like, they're all about letting your pooches come and eat with you out on the porch. There's so many puppies. But it was so windy that, like, my mom brought me this scarf that she had found me, and I ended up having to put my hair up, like, the way I do for my 20s character to get it out of my face because it kept blowing in my face when I was trying to eat.
Oh no.
It was lovely, besides the 20 mile per hour winds. But yeah.
Fusible interfacing, by the way. I was going crazy trying to
Yes.
figure out what you were talking about because, like, I use it to reinforce bags so that I
And
don't have to add more
I
stuff.
know it's not actually called Stitch Witch. I think that's a brand
That's,
name,
I think, a brand. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But
But there
that's what I've
is.
always that's what my mom called it, so that's what I always called it was Stitch Witch.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the right thing, because there is backing for quilting, which is, I think, a different thing than the fusible iron. When you said iron
Yes.
on, I was like, it's
Yes,
interfacing. It
the
took me a
fuse
while.
the fusible the, as I'm making the ironing motions, the fusible ironing. You can make a quilt that way.
I think I have a bunch of interfacing in a bin, so.
So yes, that's what I've been doing.
Cool.
Next.
I haven't been doing too much. I mean, I'm tracking my diet, which makes me happy, and I went and hiked a couple times, and that's good. And I'm eating stuff I grew, finally, yay. I mean, finally,
Yay.
it's only May, but I mean, we start early. So I've been making salads, and I got a snow pea, like one snow pea, but I was very, very happy. And actually, I can probably tomorrow I'll harvest more lettuce. I love mesclun greens because they come really, really fast. And the butter lettuce I'm using was like Misfits. I was getting it for a while, and they sent me a head that had roots on it. So I ate it, and I stuck the roots in a bin, and I just harvested a head and left the roots in the bin. So I'll have that for a while. But the rest is like mesclun mix I planted. We planted. Rob planted. But it's coming up well. And I don't know, something is eating all of our beans, but they're leaving the lettuce alone. So I don't know if it's like bugs or picky rabbits.
Yeah.
Excuse
Usually the
me.
rabbits would go for the lettuce, not the beans. Maybe you have deer.
One would think.
That was the
I don't know. I did go and do karaoke. We
other
went, another friend of ours who's never been to the little brewery we frequent, she's fully vaccinated now and she loves karaoke and hasn't been since the beginning of the pandemic. Her wife
thing.
is auto, you know, has MS and other autoimmune issues too. So I've been real careful and it's like, okay, lots of vaccines. I'm like, we have a table full of people and I know they're all vaccinated. Well, except Eric. Eric. But we had a great time. I tried some new songs, which made me happy. And our friend was just like, I love this place. This is my new favorite place to do karaoke. Like, the crowd is great, and the music choices, it's not just a bunch of countryoke. And so we had this really good time. I keep looking at Linda's notes. The purple draws my eye. Watching and rewatching some Studio Ghibli stuff. That's kind of fun. Just, it's very nostalgic. I was watching. And for Mother's Day, I had a really nice Mother's Day. Rob cooked dinner, kind of took care of stuff, so I just didn't have to do things, is most of what I want for Mother's Day. And, but he did pick up from a local artisan who's doing glass etch work and a mug. So it's like thick, the kids can't break it, and it's glass etch so it can go in the dishwasher and they won't ruin it. And he got me a mug that has Totoro on it.
Oh, awesome.
It's so cute. And I drank my mimosas in it. It was lovely.
Excellent.
That's the classiest thing, just in a mug, sure. So the only thing I have going on is I discovered I have to rebrand this Facebook group we have. We when the pandemic hit, some of you may remember, we had this idea to try. My husband and I are very involved in the local music community, and it's like all the venues closed. Like, we've been really excited over the 20 years we've been here to see like more and more places for live musicians and artists to perform, and we got up to like nine different places that we had live music one night, and we were really excited, and then everybody closes. So we kind of, you know, started a site to have the local music scene. People teach them how to stream, help them stream, to publicize their stream, to help them get payments if they didn't have any virtual tipping set up. And it's been really cool, and it grew really fast. It's like it's got a, you know, a couple hundred people. It started to widen into different areas. And now places are opening. And that's great because as people have slowly come back to live music, you know, just a gig here and there, it's been a place where they can go and advertise it. And that's something that we've watched for years. Like, we've known other organizations and musicians to put up like a calendar for Statesville or for the county and try to get everybody to contribute their stuff and put it there. And then local newspaper is really inconsistent about posting events when you submit them, and not everyone knows how to do it, and then they change how you do it. So there's never been a place to just go see who's playing. And as a complete side effect, our page kind of became where people go to post their events and go see who's playing on any given night. Cool. But now that venues are opening full time, they started posting other events that aren't music. So one posted like a trivia night, and then another one was like, "Well, I know it's trivia, but I saw other non-musical things here. Is this okay? If not, take it down." And I was just like, "Oh shit, I didn't see the other one." Because I have pulled other non-performance posts. I mean, we have a magician who does live streams, and that's fine. That's a local artist. But I now have to rework like the about section because it specifically mentions during the pandemic we're doing this, and I want to continue to serve this community because it became that hub that we all wanted. But I'm going to have to clarify the mission statement and make a post so it says focus on the performers. And I mean, they want to post, "Hey, I've got an album out," sure. But I want it focused on the music scene. And it's kind of like, well, it's not, how it started, but I'm willing to step up and I don't want it muddied. I want to continue the mission.
Yeah,
So,
that's fair.
what about you, Ray? What have you been up to?
Well, now that Falcon Winter Soldier and Invincible are done for the season, I actually had started going through I've been like off and on since like God, when was it? They like 98 or 99, they made like a giant list of like 100 movies from the AFI that you should watch and before you die. And I remember this because I worked at the video store at the time. So like this was a thing and they had us check off which ones we had seen so we could recommend. And I was very excited because I was the only one in our group that had seen The African Queen, which is moi, by the way. It's like
It's
one of
very
my favorite
good.
classic movies.
Yeah, it's actually quite good.
Yes. So I'd actually like found a few lists, but I didn't, so I just opened it up to my friends and like, "Hey guys, what do you recommend? I finally watched Citizen Kane after almost 40 years. What do you say?" 'Cause I'm like, there's some that I just don't want to see. Like my dad, my parents have some classic movies. Like my mom likes Gone with the Wind. I'm like, I don't think. Maybe, but I'm just not in the mood for something that long. And my dad likes Birth of a Nation, and I refuse to see that one on principle. Every camera technique and every use of chiaroscuro that is used in that movie, I can watch in something better than that horrible, hateful film. So that's me. But I got this nice list, so I'm going through like classic movies, and HBO apparently has like their Turner Classic Movies going on right now, so it's a great time to watch old films. Not all of them are there, which makes me a little sad. So eventually, I am gonna have to start renting. But most of them are like $1.99, maybe $3.99. So that's not too bad. But I've just been going through that, and actually proud that I'm not as far behind as I initially thought I was. So thanks, Mom, for lots of Turner movies in my past. The other thing is, we had our session zeros for our Aberrant game that is coming up, and I can't stop doing Aberrant art. Like I just can't stop doing art for this game. So I have ridiculous amount of art that I've been
What you
doing.
currently
That's
have
well.
in your mouth is art.
Well, it's, I always, as someone who knows you, it just means you're excited about the game.
I am really, really excited about the game.
She only does, she does, well, not only, you do artwork when you're super excited about a
I
character or a
do.
game.
And it's usually LARP art because that's usually what I was playing, but since this is a tabletop and I love this setting and I'm really excited to play in it again. And so, yeah, lots of that. Let's see. We did our vaccinating friends get together on Saturday and we played Gloom, which
We
is
did play Gloom.
a delightful card game where you basically tell a tragic tale about how a family perishes, and while you're trying to make sure you have the saddest tale of all, you're also sabotaging your friends by giving them puppies or ducklings or happy events that happen to them to mess with their score.
Yeah,
it's like Thaco, you want the lowest score.
Gloom is strangely delightful. It's just because it's very tongue-in-cheek. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it is... The point of the game is to get the entire family that you're playing killed.
I really
need the most tragic, negative modifiers.
The most tragic of deaths.
And then all those positive ones on your friends.
Whoever has the most negative points wins. Yep. It's really hilarious.
And then we also played a... Yeah, I guess it's still a card game. It was a Vampire Masquerade Vendetta game, which was super fun. Everybody played like a classic clan, which was neat. And then you just kind of like took over bits of the city, and every clan had its own special way of dealing with stuff. So like I played a Nosferatu. So like we especially could like start in on a conflict and then just GTFO out and just vanish and immediately run to the princes to basically like try and put all of our prepare there to win the actual final conflict. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah, and then like the clan that I was playing was all about getting followers. So like I had special cards that would let me pick they're called victims, but it's basically your alliance. And I end up having like the most people, and I was just getting a little cult.
Just the Toreador.
Yes, I was the Toreador.
Yeah, and then for the Aberrant game that Simulacra Studios is doing, Atomic Youth, we're all gonna be represented with VTuber avatars. So I've gotten mine for Circuit, and I was setting that up and playing with it. It looks like for the game, the one we're going to be using is just for the face, but they do have like a couple others on Steam that I was playing with that do like more body motion, because she's going to be a good New Yorker, so I'm going to talk with my hands a lot, but nobody's going to see it. And then the only other thing is we watched Jupiter's Legacy, which is on Netflix, and it's another superhero genre, but we're trying to do our own thing. And it's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's just kind of meh. Like, the costumes are meh. They've decided to focus on the older superheroes. And honestly, the parts that I found the most engaging were where they were talking about their children, who also inherited superpowers, and like them having to come to terms with stuff. Or also the flashbacks, which were very... adventure, like, shoot, what is it? 1940s. We're going on a pulp.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. Which was very pulp, and I liked that. So, like, that was the best part of it for me. And everything else, I'm just like, I don't care. but you might like it. Like I said, it's not terrible. I kind of give it a 5. I think Metacritic has it as, like, a 6 right now. But, okay. Yeah. That was...
Good to know. I've been eyeing it, and I've seen a few trailers, and it hasn't quite grabbed me, and that's probably why.
Yeah, it's very meh. But, you know, not bad. Not terrible.
It just kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are talking about mentification. The size, because I initially had the hardest time because I spelled it wrong and I couldn't find anything about it, and I was very frustrated. But Ember came to the rescue with proper spelling.
I'm sorry I was so late.
No,
I just thought
it's
gentrification,
fine.
It's just a play on that. It would, I don't know.
So the term apparently was coined by a Tumblr user on Obstinate Condolement, or is basically we're talking about how kind of like a word for when there's something that women have helped create or made very popular, but like men just kind of take over. A good one that they pointed out was Star Trek, like as like initially like a weird sci-fi series, you know, everybody can enjoy it, but like I believe specifically the fan part of it, like the fan group and the fan support was started by women who like wanted to talk and about these characters and try and help set up cons, and you know, and then it just kind of turned into this male dominated thing where like the men, they came in and kind of took over the geekdom, for lack of a better term.
When, because women, it wasn't like considered serious sci-fi. It was like this, you know, show, and women liked it, and they talked about the characters, and they had their little clubs, and then it wasn't, you know, it wasn't serious, it wasn't real, and like then it flipped because then women were excluded because then it was serious, and it's like, why? And it's really interesting how the whole discussion happened on the internet was like, how does this happen? This happens with all these things, and there's lists of things, and it's like, because men started liking it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So the, but the really interesting thing about the word is it's been looked at, I mean, as the whole evolution of so many other things. It's about the perceived value of something, and that's how it, like, mentrification sums up so well, because it's taken from gentrification, which is that, like, it's about perceived value, right? People go into a neighborhood and they fix everything up. I mean, but they price people out of it and they destroy its aesthetic and everything else. So like some people think gentrification is, oh, it's great for all this stuff, but it's also terrible for whatever initial community was there. And this perceived value in fandoms is really interesting for our geeky content, but for stuff, I love the definition in Urban Dictionary, because do you want to read that? I did link it.
Yep, I can do that. Let me get that one open. Boop. Come on. Yeah, the process by which fields gradually become dominated by men gained in perceived value to the point where it's often forgotten they were originally dominated by women. E.g., in this case, computers, Star Trek fandom, by which fields gradually become dominated by women, lose perceived value to the point where it's often forgotten they were originally dominated by men. In this case, nursing or secretarial work.
Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting connection that I made with this. I listen, obviously, I talk about it every once in a while. I listen to Lore, by Aaron Mankey, and he also has another podcast that he does called Unobscured. And the most recent thing that they looked at was Jack the Ripper and the Ripper killings. And actually, there's a very intriguing connection between what are called the Match Girls of London and what was going on with the Ripper cases. And the Match Girls, were called that because they worked in, one of the big match factories, and they were the ones that started kind of the striking to get their, the movement to start strikes to get better work environments. And it's interesting because he does interviews with these folks that are experts in the fields that they're talking about. The interview he does with this woman who has researched the Match Girls says that it's been forgotten. Everyone thinks that it was started with the dock workers. But there's actual documentation of the dock workers saying, remember the Match Girls, because they're the ones that actually got the movement started to get better work, like work environments, but it was forgotten by historians because, quite frankly, a lot of English history is written by men. And so they were like, yeah, no, it was totally started by the dock workers. And like, nope, you totally, you missed a step there.
Yeah.
and it was very interesting to me to remember that tidbit and being like, oh yeah, that has happened before.
And there's a lot of it. It brought me back. I was reading this Guardian article. I will put it in the show notes about, well, it's in there, but I'll put it in the ones for people to see on our website The Guardian wrote this fantastic article about it that, like, everything else I find refers back to that along with the origin on Tumblr. But the whole computer field. Like, the word computer was literally a job title that was a bunch of women. And then as things advanced in the field and it became such a part of, you know, the world in different professional venues, it was just perceived that, well, like, oh, they were left out of pictures of, like, they programmed the first computer and then were, like, kind of left out of pictures because, like, oh, the ones that were actually the computers, it was women. So what they did couldn't have been very important. And that kind of assumption, when, like, literally the name was a job title, and then, you know, we see things like Hidden Figures, and it wasn't just race, it was gender, it was just... And then the stuff with, oh, what's her name? The movie star. Hedy Lamarr, who patented and created the stuff that gave us what we have, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth now, right? But nobody knew that until it got uncovered recently because the movie studio was like, oh, but we're billing you as the most beautiful woman in the world, and that doesn't fit. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, actually, like, that had me thinking. We were talking because I'm like, yeah, I remember, like, computers and, like, women, like, just have women figuring all day, like, all kinds of math problems trying to get it resolved. So where did the stereotype of, I'm so bad at math, come from? Like, why are women assumed to be bad at math when... Obviously, no.
And why can't you be pretty and smart? Where did that come from?
Like, personally, I know why I'm bad at math, but I have a learning disability. I'm pretty sure a vast majority of people do not. And I even have one friend who gets very upset because she does coding. That's her thing. She loves it. It's joyful to her. She even has, like, math tattoos. And just every time I say something about, like, I'm having a hard time with this. She's like, no, you could do this. I'm like, okay.
Well, there's a lot of different sources for how this, you know, has become a thing. I mean, we're in a patriarchy. So that assumption that, like, oh, it can't be that hard because women are doing it was pervasive. Then there's marketing things where, oh, well, the guys have the money. They're the breadwinners being, you know, back when. And that being, well, we have to market to them, so we have to make it look like that's who's making our beer, for instance. I mean, they took beer. Women were the ones who made the beer, invented the beer, like, from ancient times, and even created that industry. But when it came time to market it, I mean, that's part of it. And the bad at math, I mean, that gets perpetuated. I think a lot of that is... socioeconomic, because even to this day they'll use this, like, oh, but men test better. But there's a whole strata of reasons that folks would test better, and it has to do with how they are taught and their access to certain services and to learning. So
there was I've been rewatching all the Mythbusters on Discovery Plus. And they did two episodes about Battle of the Sexes, and they did a throwing test because they were trying to figure out why is throw like a girl an insult. And it was interesting. The first go around, they did it with the folks with their dominant hand, and the girls stood up straighter and threw like this, and the boys actually would get down and, like, throw, and that was all because of, like. And they did it a whole bunch of age ranges. But that was because it's marketed to them. And they are taught, you know, more about that. And then they switched to their non-dominant hand. By the way, the girls were more accurate. Like, the boys would throw harder, but the girls were more accurate.
There's axe throwing in town this week. Yeah. And I am not in any way surprised by that. The guys posting their women going, did that.
But then they switched everyone to their non-dominant hand, and everyone was throwing the same. because they were unused to it. They hadn't been taught certain things. So I thought that was very interesting. Also they're great. They were like, stop using it as an insult. Just stop.
Yeah.
Stop being dumb.
Please.
Yeah, and then like again in the Guardian article, they brought up like Beatles fandom, and like, yeah, my mom is the one who like had me listen to Beatles initially. Like as a kid, I'm like being rebellious and bratty. I'm like, I don't like this. This is stupid pop music, and like got into it. But like she had always loved it. She was that
They
was
were
her boy
such a
band.
boy band.
Yeah, that
Like,
was her. And then like at some point. It just like no, they're very expressive, and I'm like, okay, yeah, there was like a change in the tone on some of the records, but overall, they're there to sell music and write songs.
yeah, not that.
I
I
love
still don't give a
it,
crap
but
about the Beatles.
yeah.
Like, it's catchy and fun sometimes. But men decide. Like, that's, yeah, in that article too. Like, rather than a silly boy band, when did that happen? They're rock legends. When men decided they liked them. I love the part in the Guardian article. I got this huge giggle because they had this, like, they use the metaphor of like just taking a penis and drawing it on everything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it
Well,
really feels like that happens. Although it's interesting with the devaluing part, I did want to mention the other side of that, like, because it is in that definition you read, the certain professions, and they were male dominated, and then. And now they're when they're female dominated, like nurses, teachers, they can continue to underpay them and undervalue them. That's definitely traceably symptomatic to me.
Yep. Or like, what's the difference between a chef, like a male chef and a female chef? Like, women are expected to cook, you're expected to go to know how to do this. Like, so why is it so weird to have like, why is it a male chef is suddenly the pinnacle that you want? And but women do like cooking, depending on the majority, the expectation of the society that you're in and the household that you're living in.
Yeah, I think that
Or
the majority of famous and they get, the Michelin stars or whatever, like they're a chef, and it's so male, it seems male dominated, but that's like kind of insane. Like, did that start because we were like, oh my God, that guy can cook, right? And then they get special treatment because it doesn't make any sense to me.
And going back to like the math thing again, like the majority of like I believe middle income, low income houses, women are the ones who are doing the bills. We're the ones doing the figuring and balancing the budgets and allowing like giving allowances. So I'm just very baffled about the whole math thing and the fact that we didn't have our credit in our own name in the state of Georgia until 1980. My mom was very adamant about me getting my own credit card as soon as possible because she wanted me to have my own credit. Because apparently, when she got married and moved down to Georgia, the credit rating that she had became my dad's credit in the 70s, the late 70s.
Yeah, really glad. People don't realize how little time has passed that we were allowed to have, not property, checking accounts. Yeah.
Individuality.
And it's certainly not the world today. I mean, I helped do the legal paperwork to help my husband immigrate from another country. I created him from scratch by getting him a social security number and putting on one of my credit cards and showing him how to do that with a prepaid card, how to build your rating, and I had to add him to things to build that, and it's not something that if the roles were reversed, I'd have been screwed.
Also in secretarial work, because I like I'm trying to see if I can find like more information about when that shift happened, because that one is very interesting to me.
Oh,
Cause,
secretarial?
yeah.
Well, because it was the I think, well, I don't know. If they're referring to secretarial or reception, probably both, and you didn't want a face of your company that was female for a long time, probably until you could show that they were your underlings.
Yeah, like that, like I get.
I feel like, and this probably isn't correct, but I feel like it probably started around the 40s because after World War II, women had gotten used to, doing the jobs of men when they were off at war. And now they still wanted to work, but maybe that's when the shift kind of started happening. Because you did have a partner, you had a blah, 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 blah. You did have a point in the 40s when the male population was a little bit lower than normal because of a big, the big flap that happened.
Yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense because, like, by the 1950s, like, I assume it was more like, oh, look at this cute young thing I have in front of my office to catch everybody's eye, and she can type too.
It's interesting the oh, what was I gonna say? I was gonna say something. Never mind. I promise it wasn't.
I was also watching, because I've been watching a bunch of classic movies. I was watching documentaries about the actors and actresses, and one of them was talking about the female mystique, which is basically how, like, in the late 40s and the 50s, women started to become really, like, it was just the idea that all you should do is live, work at home, stay at home, cook and clean, and that's all you needed to be satisfied, little lady, while the big strong man will go out and take care of everything for you, and you just raise the children. That was called that melancholy that came out of that because you had nothing else in your life. Like, there was a large uptick in, like, home drinking and prescription medication for anxiety and depression. That's where you get the joke of the Valium mother.
Yeah.
And
Mommy's
yeah,
little
a lot
helper.
of that was just. You had the taste of, like, fulfillment and independence, and it just
Believe
nope,
Mommy's
back
little
to the box.
helper is mentioned in the Beatles song, so there's some
Yes.
irony for you. The other thing that was, why haven't we heard more of this word? Obviously, it's been around for a few years. There are hashtags that gets used. There's somebody on Facebook who's like, here I am, who just talks about that. I mean, this is out there. It coins very, very well this well-documented phenomenon that has had efforts to try and undo it that predate the word. Things like Ada Lovelace Day, for instance. But maybe, just maybe, because how these days, like, what is the social media you think would be the most influential on a new invented word, create, like, gaining popularity and general use?
Twitter?
Yeah.
That
Guess
pop
what?
tick that the kids like.
Two-thirds of Twitter users are male. Maybe that's why. Even us cutting edge female podcasters who are immune to gentrification by our structure. Maybe that's why if we just don't hear all that much about it.
Yeah, no.
It took us 2 years to hear this word through a meme, even though we're nerds on the internet every day.
Well, I don't know. And I wonder
Oh,
what that
and my husband pointed it out to me.
I wonder what that demographic actually says about Twitter, because I don't
It
have a
says a lot
personal
to
Twitter.
me.
Well, it's like I don't have a personal Twitter because if I'm gonna post something, then I'm usually posting pictures, which is why I have an Instagram, because that's where you can post up your pictures. It's just a different way of, I'm a very visual person, and you can post pictures on Twitter, but
Yeah, they came around to that.
and I'm just wondering, like, if it's just the way of communication. Like, maybe women like having more than, what is it, 145 characters?
No, yeah.
You also just got my, women have been painting for as long as men,
Yeah.
but we only get, like, we just now, like, hear about, like, Artemisia Gazella. Oh God, I'm never gonna say her name right. Artemisia, who is infamously did a series of paintings, the beheading of some terrible guy who was trying to rape somebody based off a Bible story. It was awful. The Hofner, Hofferer, whatever. But like that was something I had just learned about like 10 years ago in college, and I was blown away. I'm like, why don't I know about this woman? Why don't I know about all these like? All these different famous painters, like now, Frida Kahlo is remembered more than her husband. But back then, she was just a hanger-on. Like, he was the famous mural painter, and she was just his cute little wife who painted. And it's just,
So it keeps happening. It should stop happening.
just credit people.
Just credit.
Regardless of gender, just like, just credit people. We shouldn't have to be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I think we've all had conversations where we've been talking in a group and like somebody, like a woman will say something, nobody really pays attention to it. The man will say it, and then suddenly everybody thinks it's a great idea.
Oh.
Just stop that crap.
Oh, yeah, that makes me crazy.
Like,
Mean, I don't know, I think it's worth that we can speak up on the history of it when we see someone talking about it. Like if somebody just starts talking about nursing and starts using she and her automatically, like, hey, did you know that the nursing field was once dominated by men? You know, I mean, I love that it's craft beer week, and I know they've had a special holiday recently where women brewing and then pointing out, like, this was a woman thing, you know? It
And
wasn't always just these bearded dudes. And, like, craft brewers are actually a really good demographic of, like, being able to admit that. There seems to be a lot less toxic masculinity in dudes who craft anything.
it's the same with composers. So you know, like I had to drop this idea for a while because actually doing the historical research was way too much for me. But I had that idea about for my music history podcast. I'll probably eventually pick it back up. I still have all my notes for it. But the first composer, like in the so there's the big, you know, Wikipedia article of, you know, famous composers that everybody knows about. The very first one's a woman. Back from like 805 AD. And it's like people forget, yes, women also composed music. Like you have so many male names that everybody knows that people just forget. And I
Well,
just
they
I
were
love it. Her
patronized, so their name could get plastered everywhere.
name oh, by the way, her name is Cassia. Cassia from the Byzantine Empire. Anyway. Say
Say their names.
Yeah,
their
no, I
names.
literally just looked up Artemisia so I could get her last name right. Artemisia Gentileschi, Italian, and the series I was thinking of was her Judith Slay Holofernes. Oh, I'm still not gonna get this right because there's no pronunciation. Holofernes. Holofernes? It's a whole series that she has. It basically came out of, it was her way of dealing with some trauma that she had. It was very popular for popular ladies, and yeah. It's a wonderful artist.
Oh, sorry. I got distracted by rereading some of these notes. I forgot that she has the best burn, and like, super best burn against somebody trying to get her to be his bride. Anyway.
Cool. All right. Well, if you have opinions or things that you want to let us know about mentorification, please chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now?
I am gonna be making my wing ring. Wing rig. Say that five times fast. So I've got my struts. It
It
flopped
just
over.
flopped as
It
she just
just
stayed in the
flopped.
frame.
I have my struts. And I've got my fabric. So we'll see where that goes. Maybe I don't know if I'll have it fully completed, but maybe on, next Monday I'll be able to show off the thing. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Want to be making more pockets. Also fake quilting, I guess. And maybe make a snood. I don't know. There's a I found a pattern. I wanted to make a snood out of black yarn so that I could have it to go with my dragon. My dragon. Because I have this one that my friends made me, and it's all like nice and fall, like fall colors. It's brown and tan and green. I only other only the ones I have are white ones, so I need a black colored one, a dark colored one for my dark dragon fae thing, whatever.
Dark is good.
So maybe snoods, who
Maybe
knows?
snooze.
Maybe snoods. What about you, Amber?
Well, I look forward to hearing from my niece. I sent it late, but should be arriving tomorrow. I got her that Coraline game that y'all told me about.
Oh, so good.
The one
It's
I made the
so good.
Coraline t-shirt for. Yeah, I was like, sis, you never told me what to get her, what she wanted. Like, will she play a game? Like, well, we have all these Monopoly. We have Coraline Monopoly, but we hate Monopoly. I'm like, this isn't just never
No,
mind. I'm
no,
just
this one.
sending the game.
This one is fun and nail biting. Like the last time my husband and I played a game together, we won by happenstance on the last card. If
Oh,
you did,
that's
yeah,
good
it
game
was.
design that that can even happen. So.
Yeah, it was just like, oh God, we're gonna lose! Yay, we won!
Yay.
Yay.
I'm also looking forward to Father's Day, but it's a month away, so it's like a little nerve-wracking because I have stuff. I keep coming up with different ideas, and then I have stuff that already arrived and stuff that's coming, and I can't decide to should I just give him something now and then hide the other thing or just save everything, and I don't know what to do. I am really bad at surprises because I am so anxious to give things away. And I can't talk about it on the show because he's probably at the bottom of the stairs. Hopefully getting my new dishwasher installed. Yes, another
Yay.
dead appliance in the McCready household,
Yay. Ooh.
in the midst of fixing the sink. And it keeps throwing an error, and I've completely reset the electricals in a way to reset the computer, and then it throws an error when you try to do it again. And I'm like,
Well, at least you
for
know
the
the error.
repair or replacement of the whole damn computer in this dishwasher that the door stuff is already also jacked up in for the third time and keeps getting repaired, but now it's all out of warranty. Just better get a new dishwasher. But
At least you know the error is not
right.
thick.
And yeah, so fun. I got a new dishwasher, but my handyman has stopped returning my calls, which is a little. I mean, like,
Rude.
he's my buddy. Like, I'm hoping to run into him after the show. I was like, if I buy you a beer, will you come back? Because, I mean, they were here like 6 times last week or something. Excuse me. And now I haven't been able to reach him since last Friday. I can't even get a text. And I swear, all I need is just. I can't hardwire this dishwasher because it's like not plugging in. It's hard wiring. Our wiring is ancient. It's a kind I'm not familiar with. But he installed this one a couple years ago, and he probably remembers. So, yeah, that's my challenge, is bribing Bubba with enough beer to come back, because the place I bought it, the hardware store, big chain, wants $200 to install, which is insane. Okay, and then if it ever stops raining, because it seems to have just started raining every day here again, I will get the masonry done, because my door is done. My neighbor came in and fixed all the siding around it that the installation people left bare wood showing on my foundation. But I have an amazing neighbor who came over and took care of that and paid him in, like, garlic. And then I can do my masonry to build the new step. And then the tile on the inside where they cut out the floor. I love my new door. I don't think I'm buying anything from that company ever again. Local or not, I just can't. So what about you, Ray? What do you
I know many of folk who would take garlic as payment.
Well, our Mother's Day plan got pushed back to this Friday. So if I can actually go and get gas, jerks, I will be able
sorry.
To. No, like I hit a quarter of a tank coming back from your house on Saturday, and Scott's like, you should get gas. I'm like, I'll just get it when I'm getting up to see my mom on Friday. That'll be fine. Hackers. So
it was not fine.
And the crazy people trying to hoard gas, even though we're supposed to have it all back. Like
they were delivering today. Over the weekend. It's fine.
Yeah, but I'm anxious about, because I'm like, I don't have enough left in my car to make it to Dawsonville and back. So I'm like, and then I'm supposed to do Ren Faire on Saturday. But worst comes to worst, and if there is no gas, I'll just steal Scott's electric car, and I can make that trip to Fairburn. And then classic movies. I'm still trying to figure out what to be on Saturday for Ren Faire.
All right. Well, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills. On most Monday evenings, our next one should be on May 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron, too, at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
And where can we find you on the interwebs?
I am tangled in yarn. You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's _MISC. And you can check out my website store at madcapm.com. I have pockets for sale.
Pockets as.
Ah, kitty.
I can be reached at 9 of 12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
Right. And you can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Ino. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.